On Friday, tenants throughout the country are expected to participate in rent strikes asking for a national freeze on rents. Some states have already placed moratoriums on evictions and foreclosures during this COVID-19 pandemic, but our next guest says there are still many states offering little to no protections. Emily Benfer of Columbia Law School created the COVID-19 Housing Policy Scoreboard with Princeton's Eviction Lab to track and evaluate each state's housing plans during this pandemic. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. So you're tracking in real time how states are handling evictions. What are you ranking them on?
So our scorecard illustrates the importance of eviction moratoriums during the pandemic, as well as supporting tenants and property owners in order to prevent mass evictions and homelessness. And so we're looking at five aspects of eviction, foreclosure, and affirmative measures that states are taking to keep people housed. So the first we're asking, does the state bar landlords from providing tenants with notices to quit their apartment and filing an eviction? And so far, we found that only 25% of states have prevented the initiation of the process and the filings. The second stage is the court process. So does the court actually suspend eviction hearings or stay judgments by the court or toll deadlines? And this is where the majority of the eviction moratoriums are happening, where 45% of courts across the country have actually suspended hearings and 25% have stayed orders of evictions. And then the third category is the enforcement of an eviction order. So does the state prevent sheriffs from enforcing an eviction order for non-payment of rent or otherwise? And 36% of states and territories have frozen this enforcement aspect. And then the last categories that we're following are really the short-term supports and how to keep tenants in their homes during and after the pandemic.
I want to talk a little bit more deeply about that, but I also want to ask what states, based on your criteria, are providing some of the more comprehensive protections for renters.
The states with the most protective measures are really focused on stopping the eviction from happening in the first place. So at the very initiation stage, and then also providing tenancy preservation measures to keep and support tenants in their homes. The states that are really at the top of the scorecard, so Massachusetts, Delaware, and Connecticut, have done both of these things. Just over a week ago, Massachusetts passed model legislation that actually froze all phases of eviction. And this is important because we know that the mere filing of an eviction can result in a scarlet E that drops credit scores and impacts housing options in the future.
I want to ask you, though, a little bit more about Massachusetts, because some advocates are telling us they saw a rise in motions to evict. How is that happening? And what exactly does that mean?
So despite federal and state eviction moratoriums, evictions actually remain widespread across the country. Before Massachusetts and even Connecticut adopted some of these most protective COVID-19 housing policies, landlords collectively had filed over 1,100 evictions in the span of 1 month in just those two states. In other states, we're seeing landlords resorting to self-help evictions by changing the locks or removing door frames, employing other tactics to push tenants out and circumvent the law.
What is the incentive for a landlord right now in the middle of this pandemic to actually evict someone?
Well, at this point, they still need to be able to pay their own mortgages. And unfortunately, the federal moratorium on foreclosures does not extend to all properties. So we're lacking coverage for both tenants and property owners. And when we have these large numbers of mom and pop property owners and landlords, it's going to be very hard for them to make ends meet for their own families and to keep their businesses open if they're not also receiving rent payments.
What states are you most worried about and why? We know that many places, as you just laid out for us, have not passed much legislation, if any at all.
We're very concerned about the states that are moving forward with evictions, and especially those that have backslid a little bit. So Idaho and North Dakota and Alaska recently lifted what were somewhat protective moratoriums on eviction to remote hearings and lifting those earlier bans. So to address this feared avalanche of cases when society reopens, states are beginning to replace these court-ordered eviction freezes with remote hearings. And this is problematic because under these pandemic circumstances, prematurely lifting eviction moratoriums before the housing supports are in place will have unintended consequences well beyond increased housing instability and unpaid property tax payments and societal costs.
You argue that housing policy is health policy, that is really at the heart of our COVID-19 response. Can you explain?
Absolutely. It is widely recognized that one's zip code is more indicative of health than genetic code. There is strong evidence characterizing housing's relationship to health. Housing stability, quality, safety, and affordability all affect health outcomes, as do environmental and social characteristics of neighborhoods. In turn, foreclosure, housing instability, homelessness, these have always been pathways to poor health and high healthcare expenditures, from respiratory distress to depression to early drug use to teen pregnancy. The lack of stable and safe housing disrupts everything: employment, social networks, education, social services, and it sets children back emotionally and academically as an adverse childhood experience.
What do you anticipate will happen nationwide after COVID-19 passes?
Property owners ultimately will be unable to carry the missed rent, and we will see a dramatic increase in evictions. This will have a direct impact on local and national economies and significant societal costs. When rent payments decline, so too does everything else in our community. The United States has a dark history of repeatedly infringing on the rights of low-income communities and traditionally marginalized populations. As we begin to reopen America, we have an unparalleled opportunity to rebalance. And we can start by forestalling evictions and including the right of a decent home as central to what it means to be American.
That's Emily Benfer. She's a professor at Columbia Law School and creator of the COVID-19 Housing Policy Scoreboard with Princeton's Eviction Lab. Emily, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to a state where advocates say this crisis is growing. Ohio is one of those states where landlords can start eviction if a tenant is 3 or more days late on rent. Joy Forey of Bedford, Ohio, says she was living in a rental apartment for more than a decade when she received an eviction notice in mid-March. This all came as she had just lost her job and asked for a rental extension from her landlord. Joy, you notified your landlord that you'd be late on your March rent, and then what happened?
Once I notified the property manager, the property manager told me that there would be no concessions due to COVID-19. And so what that means is that I would be charged $10 a day until I pay my rent. And if they have to file an eviction, it would be an additional $300, and I would still continue to be charged the $10 per day until the court date.
What had been your history with this rental company? Had you ever been late prior?
Yes, I have been late prior, but I have paid all my fees and they accepted my rent. You know, clearly, if I'm still living here, you know, they accepted my late fees and everything. But, you know, I don't have a company and I'm a low-key tenant. I don't cause a lot of problems. Don't have a lot of repairs, you know, to my apartment. I mean, it's me and my 7-year-old daughter.
You are still in this home. You received some help to pay your April and May rent from the Northeast Ohio Coalition for the Homeless. Do you plan to continue to stay despite receiving this eviction notice?
Right now, they kind of got my hands tied because we are in the middle of a pandemic. So there's no one, you know, showing apartments. If I didn't have the fees, you know, that they were assessing, there is no way that I'm going to have a brand new startup for, you know, first month and last month's rent. And then in addition to that, I have not received unemployment yet. So, you know, I'm a little nervous and I just don't believe that right now I should be fearful of, you know, me and my 7-year-old being put out.
That's Joy Forey of Bedford, Ohio. And we reached out to the property company Millennium Management, and a spokesperson told us Joy's eviction has now been resolved and that they allowed her to pay her full rent without the added late fees. They would not further comment on their eviction process at this time.